Today's first Bible reading comes from Psalm 119, verses 129 to 136. Your decrees are wonderful, therefore I obey them with all my heart. When your word goes forth, it gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. I open my mouth and pant. I long for your commandments. Turn to me in mercy, as you always do to those who love your name. Steady my footsteps in your word. Let no iniquity have dominion over me. Rescue me from those who oppress me, and I will keep your commandments. Let your countenance shine upon your servant, and teach me your statutes. My eyes shed streams of tears, because people do not keep your law. And the second Bible reading from Romans 8, 26 to 39. The Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we ought, but that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is in mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn within a large family. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not withhold his own Son, but gave him up for all of us, will he not with him also give us everything else? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? It is Christ Jesus who died, yes, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are counted as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
I'll first read to you just again the verse, Romans 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. When Paul talks about the Holy Spirit helping us in our weakness, he is, in my opinion, referring to times in our lives when we are deeply troubled and or fearful. At times that we don't even know how or what to pray, literally lost for words. This is indicated by the fact that Paul tells us that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us at those times with groanings that we are not able to express ourselves. The word help in the Greek here means that God's Spirit joins with us and we become one with him as he intercedes for us. The word weakness can also mean infirmities, physical, emotional, or mental. So often we are not aware or realise the depth to which the Holy Spirit carries us. Some 25 years ago or so, I was in great distress in such a place, mentally and emotionally as described above. I was, however, in a home group in Brisbane at that time, which by God's provision had a number of powerful prayer ministers, and they would spend time, lay hands on me and pray for me. They also did this for others, because it really was their calling in life. On this particular day, four or five of them were praying with me. I was seated on a chair and they were around me on all sides. One of them, who had the gift of intercession behind me, began to cry out in unconstrained, loud, agonizing and painful, unintelligible cries. It was quite raucous. This continued for a short period. She intimated later that she was moved upon by the Holy Spirit, who through her was crying out what was in my heart, but which I was not able to give expression to. I know I was confused and lost at the time, because as later revealed, I had had an emotional breakdown. I had no idea what was happening to me, and certainly not able to voice the fear and pain in my heart. So when Paul talks about the Spirit groaning with sighs too deep for words, I know exactly what he was meaning. I am sure Paul himself had been in that place many times. You would be familiar with the verses in 2 Corinthians 11, where he describes the troubles he had experienced, even the fear of life, time and time again. Verse 27 reads, "Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God." So Paul goes on to say that the Holy Spirit knows the mind of the Spirit, which is referring not just to his spirit, but to our spirit, which can be often bound by strongholds, which are practiced ways of thinking that are not healthy and can lock us into dysfunctional patterns of behaviour for which we often can't seem to get ourselves out of. Strongholds need to be revealed or exposed, repented of, dismantled or denounced, and replaced with God's kingdom thinking. Sometimes there is a root cause for that thinking pattern, often a wounding or an offence in life. Verses 28 to 30 say, "And we know that all things work together to the good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified." Paul goes on to qualify the above, giving hope to us in that God further demonstrates that he does not leave us abandoned, but assures us that all things work together for good. For who? For those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. How does it work together for our good? Paul describes some qualifying conditions here which are vitally important, but equally prescribes God's faithfulness and grace and irreversible promises. One, we are called because he foreknew us. And two, he thus predestined us to be, three, conformed to the image of his Son in order that he might be the firstborn within a large family. He's revealing here the real purpose behind God's entire intentions for us and eternity. This is the sum of the gospel and is due entirely to God's unconditional and undeserved love for us, because we may have troubles in this world. But number four, for those who he predestined, he also called and justified, and they will also be glorified. Is that you? Is it me? Some explanations here. Paul is saying God in his omnipotence, he who searches the heart, foreknew who would respond to his joining with. What is implied is that this happened long before we were perhaps even conceived. Thus he calls and predestines us, and I'm assuming because you are here, this means you, to be conformed. It is reasonable to assume those he did not foreknew, he did not call. So to foreknow is to already enter into a joining together. Yes, we are necessarily born in ignorance of his love, But praise God, he foreknew who will join with him in spirit. Now the word conformed, symorphos, in the Greek actually means that which we are emotionally bonded to, we become like. Paul has already told us that God joined emotionally into our pain and our darkness. And so now he indicates that we become like Jesus, or as the verse tells us, conformed to his image. I pray you can understand what I'm saying. It can be a little deep and mysterious, but it is the reality of where God is in our lives. We just need to believe sometimes when we can't feel or touch him. God's entire pursuit in forming us, bringing Jesus to earth and turning his back on him when on the cross, is described here. He wants us to be one with him for eternity. So he goes the extra mile and cries out with groanings to help cleanse our torn spirits, souls and bodies. God joins with us emotionally and very personally to be eventually drawn by love into the image of Jesus. The final verses in 31 to 39. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all? How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulations, distress, persecutions, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, as Paul writes, for your sake we are killed all day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So the culmination, the best part of God's work in us is this. If God is for us, who is against us? If he did not withhold his own son, but gave him up for all of us, will he not with him give us everything else? Who will bring a charge against us? No, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. So nothing can keep us from his love. Distress, hardship, persecution, famine, peril, or nakedness or sword. No, not even death or life, angels or rulers, height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. God's intention is that we overcome our circumstances with his help and according to his will. Amen. Let us pray. Once again, Father, we just thank you for that word. We pray that you'll write it into our hearts, the real work and understanding of your Holy Spirit. We are your temples, Lord, and you abide in us. Lord, you dwell with us. Since Christ's coming on this earth, it meant that your Holy Spirit could dwell in us. And these passages that we've just read this morning, Lord, describes not only how you just dwell with us, but how you reconcile us, how you work out and sanctify us, Lord, in our lives. Father, we declare that we trust in you, even when we don't understand, even when we don't know what to pray. We give you thanks, Lord, that your whole purpose in sending your Son to this earth was that we might have an eternal fellowship with you, that we might one day become the bride of Christ, that we might spend eternity with joy walking with him, one soul, one heart, one mind, one will. And we give you thanks, Lord, for that is our greatest joy and yours. Amen.